Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
All right. You have to realize and understand that I love to have fun in the church. So I'm here this morning to tell you about the great thing that God is doing in our lives, each and every one of us. And my challenge today is just one word. I'm going, oh my, that's going to be hard. One word. And I'm saying, okay, one word. Oh, Jesus. That's my sermon. That's it. Now, Bobby, you could go home and watch your football game.
Awesome.
Hallelujah. Right? I could go home and finish the Christmas decoration. And Chuck, you could go home and drive all the way to Chatham. Now, you have some free time to do that. But see, of course, God has a different plan. And I realize that God is in control of all of our lives. And I'm hoping and praying this morning that before the service is over today, that you will leave this place challenged by God and change. Amen?
Amen?
That's what it's all about. That's why we come to church. We come to church to get fulfilled by God's Holy Spirit and being changed. Because if we come to church and we think just because we go to church we are Christians, we're in for the wrong reasons. Just because we go to church doesn't make us Christians. Just because we go to Tim Hortons doesn't make us RCMPs. Right? It's high-fledged. But it's reality. Amen? So are you in today to be challenged by just one word?
Amen.
Amen? All right. So I'm not very good in PowerPoints. You have to understand that. I'm not a very smart man. Praise God that I lean on him all the time for the things that I do in life. So I have a couple of PowerPoints up here, and we'll see how this is going to work out. Now, these are words. Now, you have to realize just one word. I think Pastor Carl heard God's word last week when he said, go to Bermuda. Look at the snow there today. So he was obedient, right? So he went. And I'm praying this morning that hopefully you will not be distracted of the things around you, because I truly believe the word of God is important to each and every one of us. If the word of God was not important to us, God would never give us a Bible. And I truly believe that God has given us men a Bible because we're stubborn and we never read manuals anyways. Right? I think the Bible are made for the men. You have to understand that. Now, all the wives in here, do you agree with me? Like, we don't read manuals and the Bible is made for us. So we have to spend a lot of time in the word of God to be spiritual leaders in our home. Here's a couple of words that I came up with before we found Christ. Sin, frustration, pride, hopeless, loss, lonely, scare, no future. That's two words, but how do you put that up there, right? Bitterness, anger, depressed, malice, blind, slander, confusion, and poverty spiritually. S before we find Christ. That's one word. Now, if you have to understand that today, my message will be in three different parts. It'd be the first part be God's word. The second part be my word that God spoke to me about. And the third part will be what God's word for you this morning. So there'll be three parts, so you're not going to be confused. If you are confused, welcome. I'm always confused. All right, let's go to the word that we find. Oh, nursery. That's not part of my... There's a word. Nursery in Christ. Be a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. The second slide, we have words after we have Christ. Saved. Hope. Happiness. Faith. Safe. Salvation. Patience. Love. Found. Forgiveness. Secure. Jesus. God. Rich spiritually. Those are the words that I came up with. Now, you probably have different words. And praise the Lord. I'm one of those guys that I'm driving or I'm in the office or I'm in my house just meditating. And God will give me a word. And by the time I find a pen at home and a piece of paper, I already forgot that word. I'm serious. I truly believe I have a mental issue in my mind that I don't remember a lot. And my wife is here to say that's true. Because she tells me to do the dishes, and I always forget to do the dishes, right? So, but you know, it's awesome to know that God does great things in people's lives. Amen. Amen? Amen? God is still in the miracle business. God is still healing people today. And God is a God that hears our prayers and answers our prayers. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen? Amen. Now, don't fall asleep on me, please. And yes, I am very nervous. I'm always nervous when I got to speak about the Word of God. It's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. My next slide, I have power of words. These are from the Bible, of course. And here's a few scriptures I put up there. In Matthew 12:36, it says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Amen. Wow. We have to be very careful how we say stuff sometimes. We cannot be stumbling blocks to our brothers and our sisters. You know, when we go to work sometimes and we will say a dirty joke somewhere. Those are bad words that we will be judged for that one day. So we have to lead by example of what the Word of God is. We have to be sensitive to God's Spirit and to do what He has called us to do. And that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I truly believe God has created man for two things and two things alone. Number one is to have fellowship with us and us fellowship with Him. And number two is to reach out to the lost souls and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. If we do that, great things are going to happen. We're going to be in the Word of God. Amen? All right. In Matthew 12:37, it says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words, can't see the trees in my way, you will be condemned. Wow. Try to think that one out. I have a hard time sometimes, and I read it and I'm going, oh, wow. Because some of these verses here probably speak directly to me. It probably doesn't mean a thing to you. We have to understand that. Those are the words the Lord put upon my heart this morning. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word. And if this is the Word, this is God. And if this is God, we should be proud of walking around with it and memorizing scriptures. Amen? Amen? This is the Word of God. This is the blueprint. This is the things that we have to make decisions in our lives. And the Word of God is the blueprint. If we have troubles, I work at Teen Challenge, as some of you people know, and some of the guys don't like my counseling. Right, Chuck? Because Chuck works there. And some guys will come to my office before, and I changed position now, but they will come to my office and they'll tell me all these problems and all these issues. And the two things I will tell them, number one, did you pray about it? And number two, did you read the Word of God? No. Leave my office. Go do that. Then come and talk to me. They never came back. Why? Because they found the answer in the Word of God. The answer is in the Word of God. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in me, in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word of God is going to set me free. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Well, four of us are excited. At least four, probably four and a half. And I'm not sure that person just kind of moved seat. I guess I don't know. But we got to get excited for the Word of God. Amen. Because if we don't get excited, then we're going to wake up one morning and we're wondering, what's going on? Why am I so depressed? Why is such a spiritual warfare? We hear that a lot. The spiritual warfare. Get in the Word. Read the word. Amen. Engrave it in your heart. Engrave it in your mind. When Jesus was in temptation and up in the mountains and the enemy came after him, what happened? At the end, Jesus had enough and he rebuked him with the scripture. And the Bible tells us that Satan fled away. Not because Jesus was so powerful, because Jesus quoted words from the word of God. Yeah. Simple. Sorry, I'm excited. All right, another slide. All right, Ephesians 6:17 says, in addition, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the sword of salvation. Whoa! I have a whole sermon just on that scripture. The sword. Yeah, it's okay. No, it's not. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Amen. Every word. Not some word. Like we look at the word sometimes as, oh, that word means a lot to me. But you know this one? That's probably good for you, Bobby, but not good for me. That's not what it's saying. It's saying every word. Amen. Every word. Romans 10:17, therefore faith comes from hearing, and hearing the truth, the word of Christ. Wow. Again, word. Amen. It's all about the word. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, hopefully you understand when you leave here today that the message is about one word. I'm repeating the word quite a lot. Hopefully it engraves in your heart that the word is the most important thing. Amen. Some people say, well, no, Christ is. I know that. He is the word. Amen. The word. Psalm 33:4, it says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Amen. We just heard a testimony. $2,600. Wow. That's awesome. Why? Because he believed in the word because God told him to believe in him. Amen. It's marked in the word. Yes. If it is marked in the word, stand on it. And believe it. I did step on it. All right, we got it. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Oh, hallelujah. That's what it's all about. It's about the word of God. Am I too loud? No. I get excited because I love Jesus. Amen. But most of all, Jesus loves me. I screw up. I mess up. I make bad decisions. I made some bad ones. And I'm going to make some bad ones. But through all of that, Jesus loves me. Why? Because the word of God tells me Jesus loves me. That's what it's all about. Amen? All right. Oh, wow. Okay. Got to stop preaching here and start reading. All right. Next slide. I have a couple of quotes there. Your word is the light unto my path. One word from God can change your life forever. Whoa! I don't talk about my testimony, but one word. Just after I've finished this here first, right? This is important. I have to read this because if not, I'm not doing what the Lord has told me to do. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. I heard the word before. I was on fire for God before, but I never kept his word, and I backslid, went back into the world. It happens. But it tells us, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We got to keep the word of God. The Bible is one word of the one God about the one way of salvation through the one Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo, baby. That's awesome. I believe the Bible is one word from God from cover to cover. I don't make no sense to me, or I don't really care if I could use those words. If it's a King James Version, the New International Version, or NCS, or Implied Bible. As long as the word of God, from cover to cover, I believe it. Amen. That's simple. We have to read the Bible from cover to cover and believe every word that's in it. If we don't do that, we're going to be in trouble, right?
That's right.
We struggle. All right. God is pretty a simple God. He is simple. We are the one that makes everything complicated. We do. Like we try to, we look at scripture sometimes and we try to turn it around inside out and we try to do all this stuff and we're so confused. And then we'll tell our brothers and sisters like something and we're all confused. But God is so simple. When Christ walked on earth, all the miracles he'd done, he used the simple stuff, which we still have today. Fish, bread, tree, water, wine, spit. He was simple. But we make things complicated. Here's a few words that's pretty simple. Right? And Genesis started from the beginning. See, from Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Like, God knew where Adam was. God knew what just had happened. Adam and Eve took the bite and they were sinned and they knew they were naked, so they hid themselves. God didn't go around the garden going, "Hey, Adam, where are you? Adam, ooh, ooh." No, he said, "Adam." Simple. One word, Adam. When God calls me, Remy, I listen. So God is simple. We make it so complicated. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4. When Samuel was lying down, then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." Nothing can't complicate it. God didn't want Samuel. He was only the righteous one in the whole kingdom in that time. He says, "Samuel." Samuel gets out of his bed. He says, "Here I am." God didn't tell him at that time, "You know, Samuel, I'm calling you to do this." No, he just said, "Samuel." One word. He called him by his name. Like God called each and every one of us when we were in our mother's womb. He knows every hair on our head. Some of us don't have a lot. But he knows every hair on our head. So God is not a complicated God. He's a loving God. He's a simple God. He loves us. He created us. That's what it's all about. And in Acts 9, verse 4, heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Simple. He didn't go and talk to Saul and say, "Saul, you know, you shouldn't be doing this." He says, "Saul." And Saul stops. There's a light. He becomes blind. Nothing complicated, except for the light being blind. But he called his name, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So simple. You understand that now? That's from God. God is good. He is good. Am I doing okay, babe? Awesome. That's my wife, Joanne, there, right there. Wave to me, babe. Come on, right, wave to me. She's my biggest supporter and my biggest criticism. And that's awesome. I love my wife. All right, so now you know what God, the Word, is all about. It's all about God. Simple. Right? So just one word means it's all about God. We got that section straightened out. We understand that one now. We're okay. Anybody confused yet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I must be doing a pretty good job. All right. Now I'm going to talk about my word. See, for me, my word was come. It's not up on the screen there, so don't worry about it. See, for me, it was come. And how did that all start? Now, here's a little bit about my life story. I was brought up in a non-Christian home. Both of my parents were alcoholics. I was introduced to pornography at a very, very young age. You have to understand, I'm 60 years old today. Yeah, pretty old, eh, bro? Coming home, Jesus, hallelujah. And I was introduced to pornography at the age around 6 or 7. And in those days, you have to understand how many years that is ago. Like, it's 50-some years ago. Like, there was no DVDs or and 8-tracks and so forth. It was all books and magazines, I should say. And I was left home. And I was brought up in a home where we use 8mm or 15mm films. That's how bad pornography was in my home. So I was introduced to pornography at a very young age. With that coming on board, I was abused physically, mentally, and sexually by my parent, by my dad, I should say, and some of my relatives. So it hurts. Right? But that's the facts of life. I taught. That's all I knew. That's what it was. At my sister's wedding, when I was 10 years old, we had a great party, and everybody was drinking and so forth, and I accidentally grabbed a glass of wine off of the table, hit underneath the table, and tasted it. And instantly, I loved it. Wine tasted so good. So I had the second glass and the third glass and the fourth glass. Because it gave me a feeling on the inside that I never felt before, and it kind of buried away my pain. So gradually, as I grew older and we're hanging out with friends and so forth, I would have a beer here and once in a while because there was lots of alcohol at my home. So I could steal one of my dad's pint of beer and hide it in the shed and drink it with my friends. So at the age of 13, we were all sitting together, and me and my friends, and those days we played Cowboys and Indians. Who remember those days? That was fun, right? Now kids talk about playing Cowboys and Indians, they kind of looked at you weird. Now, what kind of game is that? Can I find that? Can I buy that for my Nintendo or whatever it is they have now? Xbox, yeah. Or your phone, yeah. Where's the app, right? So we're playing Indian and Cowboys and Indians, and then we all sat down by the little brook, matter of fact, and one of our buddies brought some newspaper with him, and he takes the paper and rips it all up, and we take some dry leaves and we crush it all up, and then we roll it up and we smoke it. It was horrible. I mean, I almost puke. But I loved it. There was something about it that got me hooked onto it. So gradually, I started stealing cigarettes from my mom and my dad. At the age of 15, I was introduced to marijuana. Now, it was awesome. I have to let you know, I don't know if there's any addicts here, or past addicts and so forth. But we addicts do drugs and alcohol because we love it. We don't go to McDonald's and order a Big Mac because we hate eating Big Macs. We go to McDonald's to have a Big Mac because we love Big Macs. So it's the same thing as an addict. So I really love the marijuana stuff. And that's where my whole life flipped over. I started smoking marijuana, drinking and smoking. And by the age of 18, I was a full-grown drug addict and alcoholic. I would smoke 3 packs of cigarette a day. I would do acid about 3 or 4 times a day, plus mescaline, which is opiates now. Plus sometimes when I would start drinking, I would drink a 40-ounce of Bacardi Pure. I will crack 24 cases of beer, and I will drink the 24 cases bottles of beer. I was a full-grown drug addict and alcoholic at a very young age. I quit school at the age of grade 9. I repeated grade 9 3 times. So 3 times 9 is 27, so I have about 16 years in university, if you add that up. There was no hope for me. Absolutely no hope. There was nothing. I just lived my little life, and you have to understand that in those days I had a huge afro weighed 110 pounds. And if you flip me over, I look like a thermometer. You get it? All right. I was not the prettiest guy in the world, to be honest with you. My teeth were all rotten and crooked, and I was ugly. But you know what? I was happy in my own little world. So I met this girl, We done a lot of drugs together. And she was listening to TV, and she was watching Billy Graham. And she accepted Christ from Billy Graham. And then she told me to go to church with her on Easter Sunday. Church? Like for me, I was brought up, there was only four kinds of church or four kinds of religion. Catholic, Protestant, Mormon, and Jehovah's. That was it. So which church we're going? She said, Pentecostal church. I said, Penti what? Pentecostal church. Make a long story short, we end up going to Pentecostal service on Easter morning. I loved it. It was awesome. Great worship. The pastor, I didn't know that then, but the pastor was on fire. I ended up going up the evening service. That's how much I liked it. During the night, there was testimonies. People getting up, standing up and giving their testimonies. And guys were standing up. And all of a sudden, I stood up. Middle of nowhere, I stood up. The pastor was a short little guy, bald-headed guy. He says, yes? I said, I want what these people have. And he says, come. Isn't that awesome? Only God could do something like that. Wow! That's it. Sermon is done. He says, come. I ran to the altar. I didn't walk. I ran. And the guy didn't even start preaching yet. I ran to the altar, started crying. I accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Instantly, my alcohol, my smoking, my drinking, my pornography was gone. Because God tells me, come to the foot of the cross. I died on the cross for your sins. And I repeated that instantly. My whole life changed. It was awesome. I was on fire for God. I was jumping in the service and hallelujah time. You know, we ended up having two kids. We got married. Hallelujah. But you know what? I did not spend a lot of time in the Word. So when trials and tribulations came after me, I started walking away from God. Then I stopped believing in God. Then we end up in a divorce. Big mess. What? Christian people getting divorced? Yeah. We never know what goes on in people's homes when the doors are closed. We never walk in somebody else's shoes. But God loved me. And he kept his hand upon me. All of that said, with that I went back to the world. I met my lovely wife now, Joanne. And Joanne was a non-Christian. And we struggled at the beginning. Remember that, babe? My kids were taken away from me, my two girls. One was Sarah and one was Chantal. My ex-wife took my kids and moved away, and I had paper from the court saying I was not allowed to see my kids. It was a big mess. It's a whole big mess. And here was God calling me back home. But here was the love of my life. And I was torn between two love, and I couldn't make that decision. My kids were drawn away, and I had lost my job. I had absolutely nothing again. And the only way that I could figure out what I could do with my whole life then was to take it away. So I ended up taking a whole bottle of pills. I tried to commit suicide 3 times. I ended up in a mental institute in Bathurst, New Brunswick. After they're doing the assessment over me, they said, you're kind of a nuisance to the community. And you're not leaving this place. I was a very angry man. And Joanne could tell you that story. But very frustrated at the whole world. So what they would do, they will put me in the padded room. Yeah, they do exist. With no corners. They would put me in there with a boxing bag and I will beat it. Then I will pass out, and then they'll pick me off the floor and put me in the bed. And Joanne will come and visit me, and she'll look at me, and my hands were always covered because of blood, of frustration, punching up the walls and punching up the punching bag. But the only thing I do, I like about Joanne when she come and visit me, it was a long time for you, babe, 4 months. Every night Joanne will come and visit me and bring me a Tim Hortons coffee and a Boston cream. And once I would get that coffee and that cream, I will kick her out of the room. I would tell her I didn't want to see her no more. And poor Joanne would leave and cry. But see, God had a perfect plan. I remember one night I was strapped to that bed, 6 inches off the floor. And you have to realize 6 inches is about this high. How low can you go when you're strapped in a bed in a mental institute and no place to go? And hearing the psychiatrist telling you, you're here for a long time. One Saturday night at 2:30 in the morning, I cried out to God. And I said, God, if you are real, come and take me out of this place. And I felt a presence that I never felt since. As if Jesus Christ came and kneeled down beside me. And he grabbed my hand and he says, Remy, I love you. I love you. I says, Lord, if you take me out of here, I will serve you to the day I die. Has been over 36 years now, 30 some years. The next morning on Monday, they bring me to see my psychiatrist. I get a new psychiatrist. He's black. In my hometown, doesn't work. I'm going, wow, this is not cool. Attitude, right? So I'm sitting down with this psychiatrist, Dr. Jean Mayeux, and I sit down and I'm talking with him, and after him and I, he starts quoting scriptures to me. He had just gotten saved. Just gotten saved the week before. And his whole marriage was a disaster. He was going through a divorce. He was losing his kids. It was a mess. And one of his patients led him to the Lord the week before he came to see me. That awesome? That's the kind of God we serve. He has everything planned. So we're talking. And our session's about Christ. And 3 weeks, I'm out of the mental institute. Hallelujah, it's right. Amen. Got a job as in law enforcement with a gun.
You want to deal with me? Come on.
But God had the perfect plan. And to make a long story short, Joanne came to find Christ. Amen. Yes, God's perfect plan. And hopefully one day you hear her testimony. And then one day in June 95, am I correct, Joanne? 95? 96. I got a phone call, which your parents would never get, that my 13-year-old daughter had died. I was devastated. How do you deal with that? Was I frustrated? Yes, I was. But then the scripture comes to me and it says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Wow. And I never seen my daughter for 4 years and I see her in the casket. Was it devastating? Yes, it was. But Christ had a perfect plan. That was my word, come. Come, one word, just one word. Come. 3 times God spoke to me for that word. Awesome. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Isn't God awesome? Isn't he awesome? So now we're going to talk about what God's word is for you today. I'm praying that God's Holy Spirit will grab a hold of you. And he will give you a word this morning that will change your life. One word. Just one word. That's all it takes, brother. Just one word.
Yeah, but what's that word? I don't know.
I don't know. That's between you and God. Let's show you next slide. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. The word doers is taken from the Greek word poetis, the same Greek word used for a poet. This word carries with the idea of creativity, yeah, such as a poet who is personally includes in creative flares. When a poet wants to write a book or write a poem, he doesn't do that overnight. It takes time. He sits there and he concentrates and he meditates and he tries to get the word together. Ever seen who writes songs here? You write songs? It takes a long time, right, guys? Right? I had a guy at Teen Challenge, Tia. And if you go home, and don't look at it now, but when you go home, check it on the website, Tia 180. It's Tia. No, 180. 180, Tia. 180, T-E-A. He's a Christian rapper. Awesome. I don't like rap songs, but it's still awesome. Through the whole program at Teen Challenge, when we go and do some outreaches, he'd be sitting there and writing down his songs. I says, T, what are you doing? I'm writing down songs. He says, why? One day, I'm going to sing for my Heavenly Father. And when he left Teen Challenge, he traveled with, is it McCray? McCray is a very popular Christian rapper, I believe. Am I correct? He had done the opening show for McCray right across Canada. That's awesome. So when you're a poet or a songwriter, it takes time. And the same does it, same for us. When we become Christians, it takes time to read the Word of God and to wait for His Word. Be patient, but work hard at it. Don't go to church Sunday. Never got the word. Never got the word. There's always a word. There is always a word. Man. But some words are more important. Some words will speak to us. How do you think missionaries go overseas? They don't get up in the morning and say, well, I think I'm going to be a missionary. No. God speaks to them first. He doesn't only speak to the husband, but he also speaks to the spouse. I've learned that. He doesn't just speak to one. Oh, and by the way, he speaks to your children also. So God has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. God has a perfect word for each and every one of us. And hopefully this morning, before you leave this place, you will hear that word and you will find that word. I just pray now that the Holy Spirit will come down and start touching the people that needs to be touched here this morning. In Ephesians 2 and 10, it says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The word workmanship is the Greek word poema, which comes from the same root of the poet. It's the same thing. God has a perfect plan. See, God doesn't just put words there just for the fun of it. He puts words there for a reason. And it's simple. Very simple. Oh, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Go and feed your neighbor. Oh, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something big. Okay, what do you want to do big? I want to go to Africa. Cool. Did you talk to your wife about it? No. Talk to me. I'm the man of the house. Doesn't work that way. At Teen Challenge, when the guys graduate at Teen Challenge, I tell them, if you work at Tim Hortons or you're CEO of the biggest company in the world, you do it unto the Lord. And if you do it unto the Lord, He will bless you abundantly. Amen. More than you could ever imagine. Because we always want the big stuff. I would love to have somebody up here preaching instead of me this morning. I'm serious. Joanne knows that. I'm a nervous wreck. I went to the washroom 3 times. So you want to be a preacher? Make sure God calls you to be a preacher. Hopefully God will tell you this morning, be a tither. Why? Yeah, that's a gift. Why is it a gift, Brother Raby? Because the word of God tells us to be tithers. Hello? Do we get the message? What's marked in the word of God is exactly what God wants us to do. Yeah, but you know what? I got to look at my notes here, people. I'm over there somewhere. I lost you guys, right? See, sometimes we were sitting there and saying, like, I don't even know to do what he has preached to me. You probably were thinking, I don't know what to do, what he has preached to me. Every Sunday we come to church, we hear Pastor Carl preach a sermon. I'm number one. Hopefully I'm not the only one. If I'm not, he probably stoned me before I'm done here. But I leave the service sometimes and I'm going, never got nothing from the service. Good worship, though. But never got nothing from the service. You know what? That's from the pit of hell. Amen. There's always something about the pastor preaches a sermon. But we get distracted for the things that's around us. I'll take this one. I don't know whose is this. Carl's? Oh, I feel the blessings. Woo! What is this? And the word is the Bible, right? Okay, I'll ask it again. What is this? The Bible? The Bible. We got it? Repeat after me. The Bible. Bible. You're supposed to say the Bible. Repeat after me, the Bible, okay? 1, 2, 3. The
Bible.
The
Bible.
All right, we got that straightened out. Can I borrow this for a second? Can I borrow this for a second? What is this? Cell phone. Did we get it straight? This is the Bible. That's a cell phone. We go to church, we don't get the message. Why? Because we don't bring the Bible with us. I'm not saying that in a bad way. We bring our cell phones in. All I'm saying is this. I'm talking to me. This is not in my message. When I go to church, and I bring my Bible, the Word of God, in my hand. When Pastor Carl preaches, I read the scriptures. I read it with him. There's nothing that distracts me from it. When I bring my cell phone and I'm reading a scripture, and there's an email or a text that comes in, I go to it. We have to be careful what distracts us from the Word of God. I've learned that a few years back, I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to start my sermon. This was my introduction. No. I went to a big church one day, 2,500 people, huge church. And I walked, where's my Bible? All right. I walked into the church with my Bible like I always do. I walked into church and there's an elderly man that comes to me. And he says, man, you're out of tune. Wow, did you hear me singing? I can't sing. So, no, you're out of tune. I said, well, what do you mean? And reaches in his pocket and brings out his iPhone. And he shows it to me and he says, look, this is the new generation today. I said, great. I said, can you read to me what's marked on this? Like I've done to you people here this morning. He says, the Bible. I said, what is marked on your phone? Samsung. Battle over with. People, don't be ashamed of the word of God. Don't be ashamed of it.
Amen.
I go to churches across Ontario and across Atlantic Canada. I even went out in the West to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with the Teen Challenge organization. I see people out there as the pastor was preaching, looking at hockey, looking at pornography because it's free Wi-Fi, in our churches. If we leave our phones home and take in the Bible, those things will not happen. And people will be blessed by the word of God. And you wouldn't leave the service saying, well, I wonder what the pastor talked about today. Read the word. That's your message today. Read the word of God. Carl, are you in here? I'm almost done. You're probably thinking, I don't know what the pastor preached. Hey, don't worry. The Lord isn't short of creativity. Just listen to the Holy Spirit, and he will tell you, just do it. Do it. Do something for God. Read the word of God and do something about it. We've been talking in this community to reach out to our communities, to go out and to bring lost souls in our churches. How many people are doing it? How many of us are spending hours on our knees and asking God for direction in our lives? How many of us are fasting and praying? I don't know if we believe that in this church or not. But the word of God tells me that, so I'm allowed to say it. If we will spend time on our knees and fasting and praying before our Almighty God, great things will happen in our lives. And when something happens inside of our lives, great things happen on the inside, then it happens on the outside. Instead of being grumpy going to work in the morning, be happy that you have a job. That's what it's all about. Seek the Lord and allow him to show you how to pray. Seek the Lord to show you how to share Jesus. Seek the Lord to bake a cake or a pie for your neighbor. Seek the Lord for you to shovel your neighbor's driveway. Let's all stand. I'd like to have the prayer teams up here. I want every eyes closed now. We're just going to have a moment of silence right here now. I just want you to concentrate on God and God alone. With your inner spirit, just pray, Holy Spirit, show me a word. Show me a word, Lord. Once you find that word, I want you to be bold, to step out of the pew and to come up in the front. Come on. What's the word? If the word pornography comes to your mind, it means stop watching them. If tithe comes into your mind, it means give more tidings. If sin shows up in your mind, come and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is the time to do it. Yeah, but Remy, I don't want people to know my problems. I don't care about your problems. God already knows your problem. All you're doing is not being obedient to the voice of God. If you want God to change you, and you truly believe that God has given you a word this morning, do Christ did. He hung up on the cross publicly. He was not ashamed. So as Carly sings the song this morning, if God is speaking to you, please come up. I'm not going to be here. I've done my work today. I'm done. Thank you. God bless. Keep concentrating on what God's word is for you. If he says missionary, get involved with Haiti. If he tells you usher, be an usher. Be something. Do something for one word, and great things is going to happen in people's lives. Thank you.